Oh, actually, I...
You are listening to On the Daily, the RotoViz Daily Fantasy Sports Podcast, powered by RotoViz Radio.
What up, what up? This is Matt Dolkin with the RotoViz PGA Podcast for the Career Builder Challenge. Head over to the podcast homepage and sign up through the link for a 30% discount on a RotoViz subscription. The PGA course intro and picks article is available for $4 at rotoviz.com/PGA, and please subscribe on iTunes to the RotoViz Radio feed and to the On the Daily feed as well, which has the DFS side of things where this podcast will be posted. I'd like to welcome a new guest, DraftKings analyst, host of the Bogey Free podcast, and writer for DFF Redraft, Matt Jones. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great, man. It's nice to talk some golf to some new people here. It's nice.
Definitely, man. I'm glad to have you on the podcast. I'm trying to get some new people on, you know, so they. I'm sure everyone's tired of hearing my voice, especially when I do the solo pods, just rambling on. So I'm really excited to get into it.
Yeah, those are tough to do, man. I give you credit for that.
Yeah, I feel like I get inside of my own head sometimes, and you almost feel like, you know, is anybody listening? You know, and then, you
exactly.
know, yeah, it's hard to really, it's a lot easier with the back and forth, and I'm ready to get some new insight into it. So
sure.
I'll go ahead, just give a real quick run through of the courses. We're going to have three different courses this week. TPC Stadium, Pete Dye Design, par 72, 7,000 yards, 7,113 yards, Bermuda Fairways and Greens, TPC Tournament, a Jack Nicklaus Design, which is a par 72, yardage of 7,159, having Bermuda Fairways and Greens as well. And the third course will be the La Quinta Country Club. This is designed by Lawrence Hughes. It's a par 71, yardage of 7,060 yards. So I see a lot of people focusing on the Pete Dye course, the stadium course, because it's going to be played on two of the 4 days. But I think using course fit for 50% of the event can create a lot of noise if you're looking, you know, at past data. And it really takes an in-depth study to find who is succeeding where. So personally, I'm going to be focusing really heavily on recent form. And I'm going to make sure to not even consider guys that haven't competed in a professional event recently. So pretty much I'm going to be on strokes gained tee to green, approach, off the tee, and birdie or better, because, you know, it's past five winners have averaged 24 under, so we know that we're going to need to go low. What are you seeing here? How are you going to attack this?
Yeah, that's pretty much where I'm at as well. I mean, it's one of those weeks where this early in the season, you kind of have to go for at least most guys that have played the last couple weeks in Hawaii. It seems like there's a pretty strong correlation between at least playing one of those events and being successful here most years. So that's definitely something I've been looking into this week.
I completely agree. And it's great when we see, you know, chalk of guys that haven't even, you know, after the holidays, they haven't even competed in a professional event and they're getting steam. And when I see that, that's awesome. You know, a lot of guys have won here recently that are, you know, these short players, accuracy guys. But there's some bombers that have won in recent years here too. And, you know, a lot of these guys will club down on some of these holes, and that's kind of hard to find in the data. So looking over at DraftKings, we have the two main tournaments, the $8, $15K up top, $25K up top in the 33. You know, if you want to go for your dreams and try to take it down against, you know, a few hundred entries from a lot of people. And looking at the weather this week, it looks pretty nice. There might be a little bit of wind late Friday, early Saturday, but that's definitely something that we're going to want to check out later in the week. So let's get right into it. Starting at the top, let's start with the five-digit guys. What are you seeing here, Matt?
Yeah, I mean, I'm just always a sucker for Jon Rahm, and I know he's going to be the chalk this week. You know, FanShare has him sort of outpacing everybody right now, but it's one of those things where I'm certainly willing, definitely in cash, to eat some chalk every week. And I don't think you can go wrong with a guy like John Rahm, who's the only guy really in the top 20. I think Brian Harman is 20th in the world right now, so he's the only other guy in the top 20. So we definitely have some nice pedigree up at the top there.
Yeah, I like how you referenced that official world golf ranking. Maybe to my own fault, I don't reference it enough, but it definitely has shown to be predictive of performance. So I like that there. And I'm completely with you. Even in GPPs, I might go all in on Rahm. I just feel like the pedigree, the skill level, he's just in another league. And, you know, usually we get shorter odds on a guy that's almost 12K, and Rahm is 11-1. But like I said, he's just so far above. And I would much rather pay near 12K for him than Harman, or, you know, you drop down a little bit to Reed, Kisner, Mickelson. These are guys that we're used to playing in, you know, the 8, 9K range. And at least Rahm is somewhere near where we're, you know, used to going up to him.
Yeah, exactly. It's always interesting in these weaker fields to see some of where these prices end up on some of these guys. It's sometimes pretty humorous.
Yeah, it is. And that actually touches on another thing that, you know, is very important early in the season. We need to really focus on, you know, exploiting the value and the misprices on DraftKings. Getting the most golfer for your buck. I mean, it's always going to be something that is going to, you know, lead to success in the long term. But it's especially early in the year, we just need to make sure to capitalize on those situations.
Definitely.
So moving down, the next guy I really have interest in, just, you know, because of the aforementioned price hikes of a lot of guys, because, you know, someone has to be expensive, right? The next guy I'm really looking at is Webb Simpson. 20-1 odds to win. All of his stroke gain stats look good last week, except around the green. And he's definitely found something with the putter this last season. How do you feel about Webb?
Yeah, I'm good with Webb. He's one of those guys that I feel like you can just always sort of count on for getting through the weekend and posting a decent finish. I'm good with that. I'm not excited clicking on Webb, but I know I know it's the right play.
Yeah, I can't see myself like playing him unless I don't go all in on John Rahm, then I'd probably start with Webb, and that's really the only situation. And I completely agree with you. It's not a great feeling paying 9,700 for Webb Simpson.
Yeah, exactly. It's like we said, it's definitely interesting to see some of these guys in the 9K range.
Certainly. So moving down, I think we pretty much wiped out that 9K range by saying we don't really like anybody except for Webb. So let's go straight to 8K. Anybody you like in here?
Yeah, I mean, I think Steele pops out to me right away. He was sixth here last year, 34th year before. Clearly did not perform terribly well at the Tournament of Champions, but I do think that he can turn it around. And then I think right below him, Chez is going to be pretty chalky this week as well, which there's definitely some merit for. So I kind of like him as well.
Yeah, I definitely can get behind Steele. He's one of these guys that is just, you know, near the top of any field tee to green. You know, he just has to put it together for four rounds because he seems to have a likelihood to have a blow up hole or two, which can really sink him, you know, an 8 or a 9 that'll just undo all the great work that he's been putting in. I'm not necessarily a Reavy guy myself, especially when you have to pay this price for him, but you know, I think he will be chalk. So there's definitely, you know, a reason to fade, but I'm not on him anyways, but I can see why people do like him. I think the next guy that I have interest in is Russell Knox, who I thought that would be really popular just because of how much, you know, a lot of the golf betting guys love him. He's very popular in those circles. But I see him projected below 10% owned in a lot of places. But, I mean, this guy is a great golfer who had a terrible 2017 season. But in 2016, he had two wins at very strong field, prestigious events. the Travelers and the WGC HSBC. Very strong fields. And he's coming off a bad season. But, you know, he showed a return to form last week where he's top 10 in tee to green and around the green as well. He parlayed it into a 10th place finish. So, you know, I think you're getting a little discount here on him because there's a lot of people who are just not ready to hop back on after a bad season. How do you feel about him?
Yeah, I like Knox a bit this week too. I think his ownership will be a little suppressed because it seems like everyone and their mother wants to think that Bud Cauley's going to win soon. And then obviously Chez just a little bit above him is also going to be chalky. So I think he's sort of in a dead zone where you can get a decent return on your investment there, at least ownership wise. And like you mentioned, he obviously was atrocious last year, but seems to have figured some things out, posted some pretty good strokes gain numbers last week.
Definitely agree. Yeah, people are just trying to will Bud Cauley into a win, but it's hard for them to make it happen. Bud has to do it himself.
Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, I think that's a great way to start a lineup, you know, get Rom, get Knox, and then figure it out from there, because there's a ton of great value in the 7K range that I'm really like falling in love with. Is there anyone else you wanted to touch on in this range?
No, I mean, it's definitely interesting this week just seeing, you know, Patton and Han go back and forth in such public fashion last week, and nobody's really talking about them at all. But I think that's warranted. That was a little, at least with Han, I don't really see him, you know, repeating this week.
Yeah, that was really awesome. I don't think I've played James Han once on DraftKings, but I just like the guy because I heard this quote that every single time before he tees the ball up, he tells himself, "I'm the greatest golfer in the world." And that just really made me like him. I really like that attitude.
How can you argue with that, right?
Yeah. So moving down to the 7K range, it starts with JJ Spahn, a guy who has been endorsed by many caddies that says, you know, he has a really pure swing. I agree, but I'm going to wait to see a little bit of form to get on him. I think Hudson Swafford seems to be gaining a lot of ownership. He won here last year. Then you have Snedeker, certainly underpriced, but obviously because of his back issues from yesteryear. And then a guy that I'm going to have some interest in, Kevin Chappell, just because of his tee to green prowess. How do you feel in this range?
Yeah, I think Chappell makes a lot of sense. I think people will be scared off of Snedeker in general. But he withdrew, I forget what that was, over in Asia or whatever. But it was like a dehydration thing. It wasn't related to the back, allegedly. So hopefully that's true. And we can get him at some lower ownership because I'm a big Snedeker guy. He seemed to be okay at the RSM, other than his ball striking. So other than that, I mean, this whole range, you can definitely talk yourself into a lot of these guys. As far as Spahn goes, I'm a little worried about the short game too, right? Like last week, he really lost it. Like he had a fine week off the tee, fine off on approach rather, and then just around the green and putting, he just was just awful. So I'm a little nervous with Spahn, even though he's popping in some of the things that I've been looking at.
And have you seen, you think Swafford is going to be very popular?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think he's one of those that's going to sort of gain steam sort of as the next day or so goes on. He hasn't been tagged a whole bunch on Fanshare as of right now. JJ Spahn has about triple the amount of tags as Swafford does.
Wow.
So I find that a little shocking. But yeah, I mean, with Chappell being projected to be pretty low owned as well, I think that he could make some sense in tournaments this week. I think even in my show last night, we didn't even really talk about him, and it was just sort of an oversight.
Yeah, I mean, he's a supreme odds value. I mean, he's 40-1 in around, you know, an area of 100-1 to win guys. So, I mean, that right there just jumps out. Yeah, I'm actually looking at the Swofford ownership projection here, and I see 6%, which kind of surprises me. Actually makes me kind of want some, because I really think he's a good play this week. I just I guess everybody's going to spawn, so maybe that's what's happening there.
Yeah, and I mean they both pretty much performed the same way as each other last week. They good off the tee, good on approach, and terrible short games sort of screwed them up a little bit. They were right neck and neck, like 47th and 54th last week. So, I mean, if you're going to get that much of an ownership discount, I think Swofford makes a ton of sense.
I completely agree. The last guy that I wanted to touch on in the 7K range. Oh, actually, I have a bunch of guys in the lower range now I think about it. But in the mid 7K range, I think you can go to Jonathan Vegas. He's probably going to be low owned just because people are definitely looking for the accuracy guys, because, I mean, these courses are all near 7,000 yards. But, I mean, he's won here before, and he performed really well at the Tournament of Champions, so he's definitely in good form. Moving down, Ryan Armour's a guy I really like. He's still striking the ball really pure. He was in the top 20 in the field in strokes gained, tee to green, off the tee, and approach last week, but his short game play was just terrible, especially his putting, which, you know, it's the most variant part of golf. So we just hope people look at the finish and his putting can come around for us a bit. I'm ready to hop back on Scott Piercy. He had a bad season, similar to Russell Knox, but he's a quality golfer. Top five last week in strokes gained tee to green, and had literally, I think, a bottom five putting performance of those who made the cut. Maybe the layoff, he got some things right, but I want to be the first one to capitalize on him before he gets up to a higher price. What do you have on Piercy?
Yeah, I definitely get what you're saying. He tee to green was unbelievable. Yeah, I mean, I think it's one of those names that isn't terribly popular, although he does seem to be getting some people talking about him this week. But yeah, I'm good on Piercy. I think I like my boy Stuart Cink down here as well in this range. I'm always a sucker for some Cink, so I'll probably end up going a little bit more towards him in cash, and I think you talked me into some Piercy and some GPPs.
Awesome. That's what I'm here to do. Yeah, I can definitely get behind Cink. Another guy in this mid-range of the 7Ks. There's a ton of guys in here. This, one of the reason it makes a lot of sense to just plug Rahm in is because there's so many good plays in this range. Kevin Na. He missed the cut due to a horrendous putting performance, even though he wasn't terrible. You know, he was okay tee to green. He didn't blow up necessarily. He was just too over. But we'll pretend, you know, last week was his get right spot. And he was 35th in birdie or better percentage last year. So we know he can go low. And he's an insane value at this price in this field at 80-1 to win. I mean, if he was coming in with any form at all, he'd be in the upper 8K range, maybe even 9K in this field. So I really like Kevin Na. And then now I think this is the last guy I'm really, really interested in the 7K range is Tom Hoge. I mean, I think he's going to be really popular. Maybe people aren't ready to jump on, but I mean, the form is undeniable. And this is one of those situations where DraftKings just screwed up on this pricing. I mean, the form is way too good, and it's, you know, the stats support his performance. He was top five in the field, strokes gained tee to green, and approach as well. He's just striking the ball really pure. We need to ride this form. I'm not sure. I don't know. I haven't looked at the projected ownership for him yet. I'll pull it up in a second after I let you talk about him. But, you know, he's 100-1 to win around guys that are 150 to like 250 and 300-1 to win. And he's, you know, he has this upside to go low. So where do you come down on Hoge?
Yeah, I mean, you can't argue with 7,000 for a guy coming off the performance he put together last week. I think he definitely, I mean, I guess it sucked for him that he sort of faded and didn't make his way into the playoff. I think he had a double on 16 or something like that on Sunday that sort of knocked him out of the playoff. But yeah, I mean, nobody's talking about him this week, really. And it's sort of the same thing as Han and Kazire. You know, you got these guys who are playing so well 3 days ago and nobody's talking about them. But I think you can make the strongest case for Tom here, out of those top three guys from last week, for sure.
Agree. Anybody else you wanted to touch on in the 7K range, and then we'll dip down into the 6K range.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a sucker in some GPPs to just throw in one lineup that has Garagus, because he's either like top 20 or miscut, and I'm willing to take a shot that he could put together a decent scoring performance, sort of going against my had to have played in the last couple weeks thing, but I always have to throw him in because I hate when I miss on him. I'm a big Garagus boy.
Yeah, I have like the worst bias versus Garagus, because in 2016 I was fortunate enough to make the final, the Fantasy Golf World Championship on DraftKings that year, and you know, that's the Survivor format, and right. I believe it was the third week, and Garagus withdrew, and he was on my lineup, and that just put me out of it, and you know, it's 200K up top, so that really hurt me, and I don't think I've played him since. Like, you know, I love to, yeah. I hate to, you know, be a biased player. I mean, obviously that's definitely a flaw, you know, to have those biases, but sometimes you just can't let them go, you know?
Yeah. And I mean, I would imagine that you've probably not missed out on too much money by not playing Robert Garagus. So, you know, it's not like it's DJ or somebody.
Exactly. So, let's move down to the 6K range. Who's jumping out at you?
In this range, I think if you're going to go sort of the course history route, you could make a case for Bazzelli at 6,800. He had a great tournament here last year. I think you can really sort of, I don't know, this seems like one of those tournaments where there's just a ton of variance and there's just such weird, like, front pages of the leaderboard every year, right? Like it's always just completely random, just because it's such a weak, large field with three different courses that you have to take care of. So Bazzelli is one that popped right out to me. Outside of that, I'm sort of a sucker for Seamus Power as well. Maybe you could make a case for Ben Silverman if he's gonna you know, show what he showed at the RSM and not what he showed last week at the Sony.
Yeah. I'm a big fan of Seamus there. Definitely a great player. Strikes the ball really pure. The only guy I really see myself looking at hard here is Harold Varner, just because, you know, he did play last week. So, you know, maybe that was his get right spot. I would play Nick Taylor if he had competed recently, because, I mean, he's a great tee to green guy. But, yeah, you know, I'm trying to stay out of this low range as much as I can, because there's a lot of very sketchy plays out here.
Yeah, I mean, I also just was scrolling through and saw Taylor Gooch, too. I think that he makes – I mean, I'm hoping that people play him given his – his putting performance last week. I think that's not going to be something that's sustainable. He's going to need to figure out his ball striking. So hopefully some people get on him as a cheap dart throw because they see a top 20 last week, but I'm going to be probably staying away from him.
I completely agree, but you know what? Every time I see it, every time I see that he gets a birdie, I yell his name out just because it's fun, even though I never have him in a lineup.
Oh yeah, you gotta.
That's right. And I think that's going to do it for us this week for the podcast, the RotoViz PGA podcast for the Career Builder Challenge. Once again, head over to the podcast homepage and sign up through the link for a 30% discount on a RotoViz subscription. The PGA course intro and picks article is available for $4 at rotoviz.com/PGA. And please subscribe to iTunes. On iTunes to the RotoViz radio feed and also to the On the Daily feed as well, where this podcast will be posted. Thanks for coming on, Matt. I had a great time.
Yeah, thanks for having me, man. It's a good time. Hopefully we can get you on our show soon.
I would love to do it. Good luck this week, everybody. Take down some GPPs. Peace.
Thank you for listening to On The Daily, the RotoViz Daily Fantasy Sports Podcast, powered by RotoViz Radio. And special thanks to Randy E. Aguibo for the introduction. Please review the podcast on iTunes under the established RotoViz Radio feed. Contact us via email onthedailydfs@gmail.com and follow us on Twitter @onthedailydfs.